Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, praise God, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Those who listen also are texting by email, Dr. T.C. Monroe, Dillman, Howison, Jackson, Monroe, Donaldson, Hillington, Lovelace, Jackson, Willis, Hindenburg, Tennessee, T.C. Wilmington, and Dr. W.D. McDonaldson. We want to thank you for listening in. Also, we want to thank our brothers and sisters here who've been supporting us for the past 14 years. This is Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Minister Rodriguez Baker, a young man's being trained to become ordained under the Live Deliverance Internet Radio. And before we have that, let's do some praise and worship with a brand new song from my friend Kelvin Downswell here in the country of Jamaica, platinum artist Kelvin Downswell.
When the road is long and heavy, when it's dark and dark, see clearly, I will lift my eyes to Thy hills, from whence my help cometh. My help comes from You.
My brother Jabari Johnson.
So lead me on, lead me on, lead me to where I've never been before, a place I've never seen before.
When I come to the end of myself, Father, carry me.
Father, carry me.
Father, carry me. When I come to the end of myself, Father, carry me.
Father,
carry me.
Somebody say,
and heavy, when it's dark and I can't see the back, come on and say,
somebody raise up your voice and say,
Evans Downswell out of Kingston, Jamaica. Good evening and welcome again to Live Deliverance Internet Radio, streaming from Mandeville, Jamaica. And this is a wonderful, beautiful country in Mandeville. Very nice, cool temperatures, about 50 at night. Don't get hot in Mandeville. And the Lord blessed me. He gave me the desires of my heart. It took me 7 years to get to this point. I started off living in the ghetto, and moving here, moving there, and God bless me where I'm comfortable as a man of God. I have been blessed with this ministry, and one person here with me, been with me from day one as a young man. He's now a U.S. Army veteran, Hoor, U.S. Army, ex-police officer. Hoor. Three tap-o nannies. Three beautiful children. Hoor, U.S. Army. Three beautiful children, one wonderful wife. We now give you U.S. War veteran, Rodriguez Baker.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm glad to be back for another week by the grace of God. God put another word on my heart to share with you guys this week. So I'm definitely excited to be here another night to share what God has placed in my heart to give you. And also a little bit of my experience and how has it blessed me and affected me in my walk with Christ. I wanted to talk about embracing the love of God, And I want to talk about that from not only just from the word of God, but also from my experiences and from my struggles of understanding the love of God. You know, for years I've always pictured God as this God just sitting on a throne, you know, always mad at the bad things that I do, at the bad things that we do, and ready to, you know, strike us down and go straight to hell. So, you know, it will always make me feel condemned. You know, feel condemned and walking on pins and needles, you know, and trying to please God in my own way, trying to please God with my own ideology in a way that I think that would make him happy. Until, you know, I as I grew spiritually, you know, under the guidance of my pastor, Pastor Emmett Overton, and other great men of God like Brother John Durton and others, and also with me studying the Word, you know, the Holy Ghost teaching me himself, you know, that I've learned that God is not mad at me. So I would tell you, God is not mad at you. I know somebody's on here listening. They feel like God doesn't love them. God is far away from them. You're not good enough for God. You don't have the qualifications to serve God, to seek God. I've been there. I struggled with that for years. You know, and like Brother John Durton said earlier, that Jesus didn't choose, you know, religious individuals. He didn't choose people with degrees and who had it all together. You know, he chose fishermen. You know, fishermen at the time was, from my understanding, was pretty much seen like the bottom of the food chain. It's like looking at garbage men who take out trash today. So God used ordinary men to use for his glory. You know, throughout the Bible, God has used men and women that, you know, we wouldn't think, you know, he would use. You know, like Paul. Paul, he was a Christian kid. He didn't like Christians. He hated Christians. You know, but God used him. God changed his heart and used him. You know, the judgment world, the judgment community, the judging church, you know, will want to teach you and show you that you have to have all the theology degrees. You know, where from, you know, from the word of God doesn't tells me I need a degree to have a relationship with him. It doesn't tell me that I need a degree you know, all these high prestigious qualifications to be used by him. You know, God wants a broken vessel, a broken vessel. What I mean when I say that is someone who dies to himself. He dies to himself and completely surrendered all to him. But a lot of that comes with also of not understanding the love that God has for us, that God loves you. To those who are listening, God loves you. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. It took me a long time to really understand that. And I'm still praying and asking God to this day for revelation of his love, you know. Sometimes I got to ensure myself that God is not mad at me. God loves me. You know, my sin is not greater than the love that God has for me. You know, and the same for you. The same for you. God, there's nothing you can do that caused God to hate you, to not love you. There's no sin, I don't care what it is, that God can't free you from. God loves you. Even those who don't love God, even those who turn their back on God, God loves them. That's how much God is filled, you know, with love towards us. So I want to read a few scriptures where we talk about, you know, the love of God. You know, and these are just a few. It's all through the Bible. You know, these are a few that I came up with. You can tag along and write them down and meditate on them. And I really believe and I thank God that this, what I'm about to share with you, will bring conviction of the Holy Spirit, that God loves you, that you're not a bad person. You're not a bad person, and you are good enough. And I'm about to show you why you're good enough. So we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. This is the first scripture that I came across, was 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Again, it reads, casting all your cares upon him, upon the Lord, upon the Heavenly Father, for he cares for you. That shows that it's nothing. He wants everything that you are worried about, everything that you're struggling with, everything. He said, casting all, not some, not a certain type of care. He said all, cast it all, because he cares for you. He cares for you. God cares for us. You know, God loves us that much that he wants to. I've learned this, that God is a personal God. He's a personal God. God wants a personal relationship with you. That's how much he loves you. Even when we are far, walking away from him, you know, he's waiting for it with his arms open, waiting for you, because he loves you that much. He loves you that much that he don't want you to perish. He don't want you to perish. It is not him that makes you feel bad because you've fallen, or you've committed a sin, or you feel like you in too deep and you're not able to come back to him. He said, cast all your cares upon me. Cares for you. He cares for you. God is not sitting there mad at you all day long with his arm folded, still holding on to grudges because something you did 2 weeks ago or 5 minutes ago. God is just that good. And I encourage you to ask God ask God to reveal his love to you. And that's something that I had to do, and I still do to this day, because we have to fight every day to ensure with the word of God, because it is Satan who condemns you. It is Satan who goes before God every single day and night and accuses you, brother, accuses you, sister, of all of your flaws. That's what Satan does. He's an accuser of the brother. He accuses you all day, all night before God about how bad you are and how not good enough you are, but that does not move God. God has to say so. And Satan goes before God, telling God, I can imagine Satan now going before God, telling him the most wickedest, filthiest thing, trying to convince God, like, this guy, this lady, this girl is filthy, it's nasty. You don't want to do her, but God doesn't see that. God doesn't see that. So the next scripture I want to go to is Psalms 86:15. Psalms 86:15. And it reads, "But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Again, "But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." I'm reading out of the King James Version. That right there shows that God, God's word is true. God's word is true. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will always remain. His word doesn't come back inward. His word, God is a God that cannot lie. Let every man be a liar, and God is true. His word is true. So it's because his word is true, he's a God that cannot lie. So that he's a God that's full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. He has plenteous of mercy and truth. Passion. He's full of it, not half of it, but full of compassion. He's full of grace and long-suffering for you. God has way more patience than we can imagine. See, we struggle with patience because it's our flesh. See, God, his word said his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts, he's higher than us. So the way God operates is totally is different from us. He has a whole lot more patience and compassion and forgiveness than we do, because let's be honest with ourselves. If it was up to us, a lot of people that has done us wrong would have been wiped out a long time ago. But because he's full of compassion and mercy and long-suffering, look at all the stuff going on in the world, all the rebellion, all the disrespect, all the rejecting of truth, all the rejection of Christ. Even the church today is starting to look and sound like the world. You know, a lot of things that God called good, man is saying is bad, and everything that God said is wicked and bad, man is saying is good. God could have wiped us out a long time ago, but he didn't, and he can. But because he's full of, and we are deserving of that. We are deserving of that. But because of his passion, his compassion for us, he loves you that much. He loves you that much. That because his compassion, his passion, you know, brings along the mercy. His patience for us is, I'm so grateful for God's grace and his patience with me. You know, that's why we got to be careful. He's always telling me, he said, don't look at nobody else sin. and condemn them. Because you always got to remember how patient God was with me, with you, when you was in your mess. And a lot of us, it takes a long time. And a lot of us is still struggling. But because God has compassion for us, he has love for us, he's still waiting for us. And we could be dead and in hell right now, lost forever. But you're still here because he loves you. God, to embrace it and believe that and know that. And know that. First Chronicles 16, 34. First Chronicles 16, chapter 16. Verse 34 reads, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." His mercy endures forever for you that love God, for you that wants him. God is not in the business of destroying people, destroying you because you made a mistake, an error. God knows that. That's what the grace is for. That's what Jesus came for. The grace is the privilege. That's, you know, trying to do things. You know, one of my biggest mistakes in my journey of trying to please God is I had to learn, like I said earlier, there's nothing I can do in my own strength, in my own way, that would be good enough for God, because his word says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. So that's nothing you can do. There's no work that you can do that can cause you to be saved, to receive the love of God. There's nothing you do. It's all about the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. And that's only the grace is mean, he didn't have to, but because he loves you, that is what, that I look at it as it's a privilege. It's a privilege that we can able to, when we make an error, we make a mistake, and once you get the understanding, the love of God, that he wants you to win. He wants you to get up, dust yourself off, repent, embrace the love, and he's gonna get you right. But we can't sit and soak in sorrow and pettiness and feeling sorry for yourself, and the lies that Satan is putting in your conscience that you ain't good enough. You have to fight the devil, resist the devil. He's a liar. He's condemning you. That is not of God. So we're going to go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. And 32. And it reads, and this is one of my favorites, this one right here touched my heart. And it reads, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I'll read it again. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God loved us so much. God loved you so much that he didn't even spare his most valuable, precious son, who had no sin. He didn't even spare him. He didn't even have to. He didn't spare him. He gave him up. He delivered his son up for us, for you, for our filthiness. The only way you can do that is that's pure love. Love. Can you imagine giving up your son or your daughter for somebody else's life to be spared? Think about that. For across a situation where you can save some people who are filthy, who don't deserve it, and the only way to save them, if you sacrifice your son, your daughter, and you, and we all know how we feel about our children. Could you have done that? I'll be honest with you and say no. But God did. God did it for you. God did it for you. He didn't even spare his own son. He delivered him up just for you. So if he did that, why wouldn't he give you anything else that he would want you to have that benefits you, your family, his kingdom, and bring him glory? It's all for the love that he has for us and for you. You are not a bad person, young man, young woman, child, your boy, girl. You are not a bad person. You are not qualified. You are qualified. God loves you. It is not God's will for you to perish. It is God's will for you to prosper, your soul to prosper, for the love of God and the blessings of God because of his love. It's a lie from Satan. The word says that when we got saved and accepted his gift, which is the blood of Jesus, the salvation, accepted Jesus in our life, he said we became joint heirs. We became sons and daughters of the Most High God, the Creator. And we also became joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We're privileged. You are a son of a king. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. So lift your head up. Be bold. And walk every day knowing that you are a child of God. You are a joint heir of Jesus Christ. You are privileged. You're privileged. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. Got a few more chapters. This is really good to me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And it reads, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God loved us first. God loved us first before we even knew anything about God, the blessings of God, the gift of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, He did all that because he loved us first. We can say we love God. We love him. But know that he loved us first. He loved our filthy selves first. Our undeserving selves first. Before you, we knew anything about God, the principles of God, the love of God. Before we knew the love of God, he loved you. He loved you. So don't let the devil lie to you. You are loved. If nobody else loved you, if you never ever felt loved by your parents, by friends, never been accepted, I know the feeling of trying to fit in. Trying to fit in so I can be liked. So I can have the coolest style. But there's something deep down inside of you that's telling you you don't fit in. Because God has set you apart. You are not meant to be blended in with the world. You feel uneased because God has set you apart. You in particular. You just got to embrace that and believe that and accept that. And accept that. We're going to go to Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Man, I got to get that myself. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. I'm almost there. Chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, and it reads, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardon iniquity, passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." God loves you so much that he will take all of your sins and throw it in the sea, in the depths of the sea. That's how meaningless that is to God, that he's not even going to hold a grudge. He'll get rid of that. He just wants you. He just wants us. He just wants us. That he don't, God is not, I just said this, I was saying this earlier, he's not sitting there being mad and angry with us, just sitting up there, you know, with his arms crossed, mad at us, and because he's holding a grudge. It says that, we just read it. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he's delighted in the mercy. God is full of love. God is love. That's who he is. Not just what he does. That's who he is. He's love. And that's why when you're full of God, when you're full of the Spirit of God in Christ, that's why you become love. You are instructed to love one another. He is love. And if he's in you, you are love. You give love. We're going to go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. We're almost finished. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. And we're going to read 38 and 39. This is also another one of my favorites. And it says, For I am persuaded. This is what Paul wrote. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That sounds like to me that ain't nothing. There ain't nothing in existence. That's what he's saying. There ain't nothing in existence that can separate God's love from you. Powers, height, depth, any type of creature, ain't nothing that can separate you from the love of God. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he cares for you. Because that's who he is. Remember, it is not God's will for you to perish. It is not his will. It is will for you to have life. It is his will for you to come to truth. It is his will for you to have abundance. It is his will for you to have joy and happiness. It is his will for you to have wealth. It is his will for you to prosper. It is not his will for you to perish. It is not God's will for you to go to hell. God is not sitting up there waiting to throw you in hell. That is not who he is. That is not who he is. God don't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. Choose to reject God's grace. They choose to reject God's love, and they choose to reject God. That's why people go to hell. It's a choice. He said, I lay before you life and death. Like he's telling you to choose life. So I want to encourage y'all to meditate on that scripture, Romans 8:38, persuaded. I am persuaded. You will be persuaded. You are persuaded, convinced. There is nothing that God can do to separate you. And I'm going to go to one last scripture. And this is pretty much one of the most popular ones that everybody knows. John 3:16. John 3:16 and 17. John 3:16 and 17, and it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave means a choice. Gave means I gave it. He didn't have to. Why did he give it? Because he so loved you that if anybody, whosoever will accept what he's given, which is his Son Jesus Christ, out of love, that you won't perish. It's not his will for you to perish. So I'm going to end that. But I also want to say this. I'm going to end it with this. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God loves us. Yes, it's God's will for us to prosper. Yes, God is a forgiving God. Yes, God has mercy. Everything I just talked about is facts. But I also want to say this. Let's not get it twisted that just because God loves us, can abuse the grace. What I mean when I say that is, that doesn't mean just because God loves us and he has mercy and that we can just do what we want to do. That we can do what we want to do, abusing the grace. It's basically slapping God in the face. Yes, you do. When you fall, get yourself back up. Repent, dust yourself off, and let's go. But I say that because I know and I've seen and I know what's going on. Individuals and people around the world are just, they're just abusing the grace. They just think that once saved, always saved. Like, God loves me. God loves me so much. I'm going to automatically be in good with God. With God's love for you, when you embrace the love of God and you experience the love of God, his love for you does mean to come as you are, but it doesn't mean that he's going to send you back the same. When you are in Christ, old things has passed away. All things become of you. Old things has passed away. So let's keep that in mind also, that we are not to abuse the love and the grace of God that he has for us by doing what we want to do with an unrepentant heart. That we cannot just be in sin and think it's okay and just stay there and don't expect no consequences. You know, so I want to throw that out there. Okay? But also remember, it's God's love. It is not God that condemns you. It is not God that, it is Satan that accuses you every day. Satan has no say so over your life. Because if he did, he would have took us out a long time ago. But God has to find a say so over your life. So I hope this has blessed everyone who's listening. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. More grace to everybody. And I'm going to turn it over to Apostle Emmett Oates.
I tell you, that was a powerful sermon. Chaplain John Durden, commentaries in his summarization. Chaplain John Durden.
Outstanding. Two things I'd like to make note of. You know, when he finalized his teaching on the night about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I think of all the scriptures that he indicated, that's the one that I think is the most powerful, because he said, you know, he said, how many of you guys, the women out there, will give your son up to die for you, for your vulgar life? You can be sinners, you can be prostitutes, you can be drug addicts, you can be murdered and everything else, and he's willing to give up the son to you. And he said, I don't think I could. And I said to myself, I don't think I could too. Because I love my son, and he really loves the Lord too. But, man, if somebody comes and say, hey, John, for you to have your buddy over there to be saved, you know, that alcoholic over there, or that murderer, or that child molester, only way he or she can get saved is you got to have your son, you know, crucified. I said, well, tell him, I wish him well. Keep that going. Not my son, you know, kind of a thing. That's very almost incomprehensible. And Jesus never did a wrong thing. I tell you, like, I mean, he and his father was like one. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. That is how much they were alike.
Right.
And then,
right.
So ain't no way in the world, I'm going to give up my son, John. If you want that crazy and get drunk and kill people, that's your butt. Not me, my son.
Absolutely.
All right. That was a very. Go ahead.
Oh, that's just the last thing I'm going to say. Let's see, who shall separate us from the love of God? And if then is that all the sins man knows, you know, I'm talking about sexual sin, murdering, child molesting, and all that other kind of stuff. And you do that, and then he says, you know, what shall separate from the love of God? No matter what your sins, I mean, it can be the worst of all. But he said, you know, mm-hmm. But I still love you. I'm looking for you to repent. You got all the way from the day you died to repent. He will still love you. He will pursue you by his spirit. And praise the Lord. I really enjoyed it. It was nice, brother. It was nice.
Thank you.
That was a very wonderful sermon, Rodriguez. Real proud of you. Dr. Johnny Lipton, he wants to speak to you. He said that was a good sermon, Brother Baker. He said he wanted to direct us to Chaplain John Durden. Dr. T.T. Hinton says good evening.
Good evening, sir.
We have his written word. We have his written word now. He says he wants to talk to you about tongues that doesn't exist. Prove it to him in the Bible and show him that tongues exist. We have his written word. Tongues have ceased.
Boy, you guys took me with that one. Oh, my Lord. Man, you took me with that one.
prove it.
Let me go to First
Corinthians.
Let me go to First Corinthians, the 13th chapter. All right. First Corinthians 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says, charity. Now remember, he didn't just say tongues. He said he gave two other things. Watch this now. Chapter 13, verse 8 says, charity never fails. Talking about love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they shall fail. And where there's be tongues, they shall cease. Now fail means the same thing, cease. Tongues, they shall cease. And the third one, where there'll be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now why the devil want to pick on tongues? You know why? Because when we speak in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through us. Because sometimes you might be preaching, you might want to say something, and God wants you to say something, you forget, you haven't thought of it, and then all of a sudden you'd be led by the Holy Spirit. And God would have somebody else to give the interpretation. But he always gives two persons the interpretation. So what the one person said, well, what he said in tongues was blah, blah, blah. And the other person who got the revelation said, that is true. He's not making it up. He's really, truly hearing God. So God don't give just one person interpretation of somebody speaking tongues. He gives two or three other folks the same interpretation. So what the person is saying can be confirmed. Now, remember I said, then verse 10 says, but that which is perfect is come, then that's when it will cease. In other words, Jesus is the perfect one. God have us still speak in tongues because the preachers don't know everything. And sometimes God want to say something that inspires the congregation to uplift them and everything else. And God may have a special thing he want to say to somebody in the church. And the pastor say, hold up, I'm just going to say the benediction, but the Lord says he got something he want to speak to somebody. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, and then the minister go, hey, shikiri, Allah, bara, hey, shihina, koli, ane, ketapala. Say, holy, kala, shakuri, ane, ketapina, kolea, kataparo, shakuri, ane. And you know what? And then somebody say, well, I spoke in tongues, but who got the interpretation? And then somebody raise their hand, could be a jamster, could be a choir singer, or could be a sweet little mama sitting on the front row, say, I got the interpretation, pastor. But he give it to two or three people so they know the person online. And they say, God said, that he loves us, he give whatever God personal God will sometimes uplifting message, you know, a praise message. God saying I love you, talking to the congregation, I praise you, and something that will exalt the congregation. But it's not just a tongue. Look, go back when you have time. Look at chapter 13 of First Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 8, and it says, prophecy shall fail. Prophecy is sometimes God will inspire you, sir, a pastor, to say something to the congregation you ever thought of. Okay? And then tongues, God says, the Holy Spirit going to say, go to speak now. And you go, hey, shekin. You might go, and the Lord says, speak in tongues. And okay, Lord. And you go, hey, shekin. And you be speaking. And then the Holy Spirit is using your mouth and vocal cord, and you speaking in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit will give two other individuals in that congregation, miles apart in that church, and each one have the same interpretation. So that's what it is. And then number 10, verse 10, says, but when that which is perfect, then that which is in part shall be done away. Because tongues is in part, you know, and prophecy in part, when you prophesy to people, stuff like that. So it's still going on. That's the Holy Spirit using you. It's not you, but you'll never get it. Mm-hmm. People are saying tongues have ceased, you know. And I did the same thing. Yeah. I said that all the time. I was about 30-something years old. I didn't believe it. And then finally, I finally got my niece.
We got
Lord,
another question.
Really true, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, we got a question about Reverend T.C. Hilton. He says, you have two non-pillows with you, and are you a pillow or are you a non-pillow?
There you go. That pillow.
Sir, I don't like the titles and all that. what I am is just a servant of the Most High God. That's all I am.
Are you a pillar?
Not anymore, because I don't like this. I don't like what the pillars are doing now. They're screwing each other. They have a sexual relationship with men. They finger fuck other men and all that stuff. And I don't want that title on me now, because you know what? Me and Brother Emily, we get calls every day. I don't like what you teach us. Soon as you well, I'm sorry, sir. And then you know what? You know how they threaten me?
He hung up.
Huh?
He hung up, but John, he gone. He hung up. You got to love what Dr. D-Roy Dyson said. The sermon's real good. He won't dirty. Hey, look at here now. I'm a hooper, he said. Are you for hooping or are you against hooping?
Well, when I was immature, a young lad, I thought that was cool, going, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then,
ask
and then
the
you know what?
Are you a hooper or not a hooper?
I'm coming to it. I'm coming to it. Give me a second. Hell no, I don't believe in that crap. You know what? Jesus said, I didn't call you my son to hoop. I call you to teach and to preach my word. Listen, I call you to preach. I call you to preach my word. I didn't call you to go. It sounds like some donkey out in the field having a respiration problem. You can't teach nobody going, yeah. Bunch of dummies in that church, you don't know the word. And that's showcasing. Bro.
All right. Dr. Louise Monroe.
The Lord said, himself told me, hey. The Lord himself said that he didn't call us to do that crap. He called us to teach and to preach his word. Ain't nothing the Bible say. Lord have mercy. I'm through.
He said he's gonna burn you out, Brother John. He's gonna burn you out at the Baptist church. He's gonna burn
you
out.
That's what I'm talking about, sir. See, you're full of pride. Guess what? I got news for you. Ain't no such thing as burn out. And if you're talking about burning me out of the Baptist church, I left the Baptist church 20 years ago. You're 20 years late, Becca. That's what I'm saying. You're 20 years late.
Okay. Bag off. Dr. Spillmore says he has a question to ask you, Chaplain Durden.
Yes, sir.
If you're so much of a preacher, why are you hollering and screaming like that, boy?
Because it hurts me so bad. You guys supposed to have all these, not you, but them guys supposed to have doctor degrees. I got triple crown bishop and all that stuff, and can't even interpret the scripture properly. The ones in tongues. And you know what they always say? We have his written word. Why don't you do it? Yeah, we have his written word, but they don't apply it to the life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so help me, man. Half of them who called me, you know, and asked me that thing, guess what? The Lord would tell Brother Emmett, and Emmett would tell me, say, oh, he's phony. He's right there in the room, in the bedroom with a faggot right now with his finger.
He just hung up, Brother John.
That's what he was doing.
He hung up.
That's what he was doing.
He hung up. All right. Let's open up the lines. We got Sister Asha wants to talk to Brother Baker. Sister Asha, this is Brother Baker, U.S. Army veteran. Who are you going U.S. Air Force, am I correct?
Boy, I swear.
Hello?
Yes.
Are you going United States Air Force? U.S. Air Force, good evening.
Yes.
All right, congratulations.
Did you take the
Air Force?
Not yet.
Asher, did she take the ASVAB test? Not yet.
Brother
Rodriguez, she got to pick up 78 pounds. She needs to pick up some more weight. How many more pounds you got to pick up to get you in the Air Force?
Five. 25
pounds.
Come with a bunch of eating.
I think.
What I advise you is to eat a lot of, like, to eat as much as you can. No, like, heavy, like, cardio working out, because that's what's going to make you continue to lose weight. You're going to have to pick up 25 pounds, so you're going to have to eat, you know, as much as you can. You got to up your intake, like, 5 times a day. You know, eat stuff with, like, a lot of calories. Not, like, bad calories. Like, don't eat a bunch of bad calories all the time, but it helps. So, I eat, like, boiled eggs, peanut butter, peanut butter jelly sandwiches are very good. Oatmeal, hamburgers, burgers, like turkey burgers. You know, you got to eat And once you do that, cut back on the if you're doing any cardio or working out, like for running and jogging and things of that nature, because you don't want to lose the weight you're trying to gain. So you're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. You're gonna be fine. And I tell you right now, as a veteran, Army veteran, the Air Force is a great choice. You know, if I could do it all over, I would have went to the Air Force, and I'd still be in today, because that would have been an easy retirement. You're going to travel the world. You're going to meet people, benefits. You can't go wrong with that. So just continue to do it.
You get your ass man book out.
No, I've been so far I've been using an app.
That's good.
You need to listen to Brother Rod.
Do you have Amazon? If you get a chance, go on Amazon and order the book called As Bad for Dummies. That's good. That's what I use. And you can also go on the website where it was As Bad, like Practice As Bad. They are basically just, you're basically taking the ASVAB as if you're really taking it. So they're going to expect for you to score well in the reading, the comprehension, reading comprehension, arithmetic, your basic math, and vocabulary. Those are the ones they're going to look at. For us, like the other stuff, like mechanical stuff, they look at it to see what you know, because it determines what kind of job you're going to be in. But those five categories I just named you, those are going to be your main focus. And the Air Force requires a little bit more higher score than any other branch. So
next to the Navy.
To the Navy. But I really believe you're a smart girl. You know, you just got to really put the work in. So I tell you, you can do it. You know, I tell people all the time, it took me eight tries. It took me eight times. And I got in, but it's not going to take you that long. So I advise you to just really indulge yourself into studying, refreshing your memory, until you can get to the Air Force. And I promise you won't regret it. I promise you. Best season, one of the best seasons of my life.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Asher?
Yeah.
And also make sure you read. Just make sure you read too. Like, just exercise your brain with reading, because reading helps your comprehension in every other category. It helps you with your focus as well. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor.
Can you mind if I could give her your number? She's a member of church. She's been with Minister Durden. We had word now she
Doesn't
have a job. And okay.
Yeah,
sister?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you the number. I'm going to give you his number here.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. One more question, Chaplain. Yes. Yes, Chaplain Durden, Dr. Wiggles has one more question.
Sure.
What did you do to Pelt? Why did you get Dr. Pelt fired? You fired Pelt.
Oh, man, you got him fired.
Fired him because within the first week he came out of church, he tried to make love to the church secretary.
Oh, Lord, Jesus.
And we thought she was just kidding. And she says, I'm not lying. So she tape recording every time, baby, you know I want you. Ain't nobody here but me and you all day. I mean, heck, we in here at 8 o'clock, all the way to 5 o'clock. And your husband ain't going to know. Good thing she told me, because her husband, he didn't know. If her husband was the head police chief here in Atlanta, he would have killed that sucker. And I said, I'm glad you came to me, because you know your husband don't think. She said, I know. And then we told him to stop. He said, the hell with you. You don't tell me what to do. So I had all the deacons to get together with him and try to tell him. But he told us, oh, he's the pastor now. So he told him to get there. He kept on trying to play. And then he trying to hit on one of the guys. I mean, he sure got a fine booty. You know, the guy called, he must be thinking I'm a faggot because I got a big booty. He says, Mr. John, I almost kick his butt, you know. So we told him, and he told me no. So what we did was we said, well, we're going to give you dismissed. And he started looking for other jobs and everything else. And people called around talking about, I heard he's a good speaker and so on, so on, so on. I said, I can't lie to you because we've been lied to. We hired a whole monger, didn't even know. The church we left him, oh, he's fine. He's a great speaker and all this and that. We didn't know that they were trying to get rid of his butt. And the next thing we know, he gets in, he tried to screw everything in under that had a hole in it. And that's right. And so we call, we say, ooh, you don't want a whole monger because we didn't want to lie. How would you have a vacancy? And you looking for the, you call me at my church and say, hey, I heard you got pelped there, and I heard he was outstanding. Are we thinking about hiring him? He's a great man. He got, you steal my best man. I could have said all that just to get rid of it. But you know, the Bible says even a liar go to hell. And I couldn't do nothing like that to you when I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't give a guy my blessing if I know he's trying to screw everything in the church, even picking on some of the fine teenagers in the church. That's all I got to say, sir.
Okay, that was the last. That was, wow, that's powerful stuff. Brother Rodriguez, good sermon, man. No joke, good sermon.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I'm ready to get saved,
good sermon,
brother.
Rodriguez.
Hey, Rodriguez.
All right.
Yes, sir.
That sermon touched me. I'm ready to get saved.
you
in other words, that
did.
Was wonderful, man.
Thank you.
Where your sense
thank
of humor?
It was good. That was a nice sermon. Good sermon, brother. Good sermon.
You,
powerful teaching. Amen. Yeah. That lines up everything for tonight. We're going to get ready and get out of the radio station room. We're going to have Brother Rodriguez next Wednesday. Every Wednesday. Chaplain John Durden, what will you be teaching tomorrow night?
Well, a number of other folks said they still want to know some more about spiritual warfare. And so I'm going to teach on spiritual warfare. Like I have an hour. In the first half hour, I would just give an overview about Satan, his kingdom, and God and his kingdom. And then I'm going to break it down and talk about the different types of demons and what they're specialty and how they trick mankind and so forth.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good.
Amen. That's going to be a problem. That's going to be good. That's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow, Thursday. Friday at 8 o'clock, I will not be in the room, but will be in here to put a mass deliverance on for John Eckhart. On behalf of Live Deliverance Internet, I want to thank the Baker family for their support financially, spiritually, Brother John for his support financially, spiritually. We want to thank everybody who's listening to us tonight, and for you preachers who call yourself preachers, you really need to get saved, man, because y'all going to bust hell wide open. Y'all got to you can't be doing this. Y'all going to bust hell wide open. Y'all need to change y'all heart, man. You know, and all this hooping and what out of education you got. Man, that's absurd. All right, Big Baker, close us out in prayer.
Father God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, God. God, I thank you, Lord, for using me, Lord, to speak through me, Lord. I pray that those who are listening, Lord, will be touched, Lord. You convict them, Lord. I pray as they sleep upon the light, Lord, you will minister to their hearts, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will minister and prepare Chaplain John for tomorrow, Lord, that you will speak to him. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, that you, those who need to experience your love, to encounter your love, Lord, that you will give them that grace. Give us all that grace, Lord, to experience the mysteries of your love. God, we give you the glory, and the honor, and the praise. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. We are going to be leaving for promotional service for Kevin Downswell, based out of Kingston, Jamaica. This is Live Deliverance Internet, based in Riverdale, Georgia, and home bases in Manchester, Jamaica, better known as the beautiful, beautiful Mandeville. Kingston, Jamaica, Kevin Downswell.
I'm talking about you. I fell on my face just the other day. If some of my so-called friends found out, maybe they would have said,
Drop it. We don't need it.
But I ran to the friend of all friends. His arms were wide open. He picked me up and put me back together again. He's my closest friend. Come
look at my life and I see I ain't right for a friend. But you're so merciful that you look beyond my flaws and you gave your only life for a friend. Nah, love so real you don't pretend to and you don't treat me like my friends do. Cause when they don't understand they hate me, you always understand, rebuke in love, then you embrace me. Love so real, I like how it feels. How could I ever do without you? How could I ever be without you? Out you. I could never go a day without you. Live my life in pain without you. Till the day when all this ends, you still be my closest friend. The only friendship that I want is yours. My everything, my heart is yours.